Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Time for Life Tuesday episode. We have Kaylin McClymans in the studio with us today. She's going to be promoting an event that is coming up called Bridging the Gap. This is coming up March 22nd, Gonzaga University at Gonzaga Hemmingson Center. We're going to be talking about this event. It's a 6:30 p.m. start time, so that's March 22nd, Bridging the Gap. We're going to tell you all the details and why you should be there in just a moment after inspiration.
In just a moment. And as a mom, I'm going to encourage all of our listeners, if you've ever wanted to just support the youth by showing up, our young adults are taking a stand and trying to bridge the gap in the conversations around abortion. So folks, if you have Friday night available, please join me to helping these young adults stand and have these conversations.
Yeah, this is an event put on by Students for Life at Gonzaga. So we're going to be talking about the Students for Life organization and this event after inspiration.
Our inspiration, we're going to get to that, is Seeing by Faith. During my morning walk, the sun hit the waters of Lake Michigan at a perfect angle to produce a stunning view. I asked my friend to stop and wait for me as I positioned my camera to take a picture. Because of the position of the sun, I couldn't see the image on my phone screen before I snapped the shot. But having done this before, I sensed it would be a great picture. I told my friend, "We can't see it now, but pictures like this always come out good." Walking by faith through this life is often like taking a picture. You can't always see the details on the screen, but that doesn't mean the stunning picture isn't there. You don't always see God working, but you can trust that He's there. As the writer of Hebrews penned, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, we place our confidence and assurance in God, especially when we can't see or understand what He's doing. With faith, not seeing doesn't prevent us from taking the shot. It just might make us pray more and seek God's direction. We can also rely on knowing what's happened in the past as others have walked by faith, as well as through our own stories. What God has done before, He can do again. Heavenly Father, thank You for all the ways You've provided for us in the past. Help us to walk by faith, even if we can't see all that You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we have to walk by faith, and we have to walk being pro-life, because if you're not pro-life, you probably would never learn to walk because you're not alive. So I think being pro-life is an easy choice because we're all here. If you're listening to this show, if you have ears, eyes, any senses at all, I mean, you're probably alive. So I think pro-life position is easy to do, but it's not in the culture we're in. So Students for Life, Gonzaga University, has a student in with us today, and Kaylin McClymans, and you're here promoting this event. But
yeah.
Let's find out who Kaylin is. How did you get involved with the pro-life movement, other than being alive?
Good question. Actually, started probably about like the beginning of my college career. I moved out of my parents' house to come into school to go to college. And I was like, God, like, I can't be making this drive every single day in the winter. So like, I need a place to stay. And little behold me, I would move in with five other girls, senior girls at Gonzaga, who were all part of the Students for Life program club on campus. And I actually was living with like the president of the club at that time. I wasn't really involved with it at all, but it wasn't until like the end of my sophomore year where like I had this vision, like this heavy vision of just a horror of what abortion is, as well as like everything spiritual and everything that goes into it, to where I was like, either I'm against this 100% and there's no excuses and there's no double-mindedness, or I'm not, and I have to take that account up with God. And so that really set me on fire to our standing outside of Planned Parenthood every day, or mostly a lot of times throughout the week, asking people as they're going in, hey, can we pray for you? Like, you know, there's other alternatives instead of having an abortion. Like, there's other organizations. Path of Life is right around the corner. Like, there's a lot of amazing organizations, even if you're not a believer, even if you're not religious at all. Like, abortion isn't the only option. And from then on, like, getting heavily protested against, like, I had to sign ripped out of my hand and called to kill myself with people driving by. So really just stirred my faith to have a lot of compassion for people who hated me and people who love me and just really truly value life. So I guess in a roundabout way, I'm not really part of the pro-life movement. It just made me really like, made me to be able to understand what it really means to be alive, you know?
Yeah, and it's an interesting argument that has changed over the decades. Of course, we saw not too long ago that the pro-life was obviously, you know, pro-life, whereas the other movement was, well, safe and rare, and now they're trying to celebrate death in the womb.
Yeah.
And we're also facing a population bomb where we're not exploding in population like they said back in the 70s and global warming and everything else. We're all going to, you know, go extinct because of cow flatulence or something. We're facing population decline where we're not having enough babies. I don't know who's going to care for us when we get old because we just plain don't have a population from births in this country for a variety of reasons. And abortion is one of those reasons that has extinguished over 60 million lives in the United States since 1973.
Yeah. And that number could even be like debated because all abortions aren't really fully like, you know, recognized. And then even to you have like stillbirth deaths in like the hospitals that aren't given a birth certificate or a death certificate as well. Right. So that number like varies heavily, like to where it could be 60 million or it could be all the way up to 100 million. We don't know.
Well, and I do want to talk about this event, but just seeing from your perspective, and obviously you're in college, that is birthing age women, right? A lot of women that they want to have a career, but they also would like to have make enough money to have children someday, I'm sure, especially in the club that you're in, being pro-life club. So we have this culture in the country that now it's so easy. It's not just a mechanical abortion. There's no procedure. Now you're getting the pills in the mail. And one of my concerns as a grandfather, I guess, a father, is that having these over-the-counter abortion drugs out there, it's not reversible. That's easily reversible. I mean, I guess there is some processes where they can reverse it if you get to a hospital soon enough that has reversal drugs for the abortion pills. But what if these are being taken on a regular basis? What's happening to the women out there in our community because we're promoting these chemical abortions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really, because like the feminist argument as well, like toxic femininity, like really pushes to where like, you can't be a good mother or like you can't have a great career and then also be a good mother. Kind of like this, you know, Satan's lie, like you can't have either or, where God wants it in perfect unity, you know. And I would honestly say that like it harms women more to be sold that lie than to actually like embrace it. And even if somebody finds themselves in an unwanted pregnancy where, or it's unintentional, like knowing that killing your child does not revert you back to a baseline. Like now there's studies that are coming out that are saying that you can never go back to ground zero. That child is like, there's parts of that child that like the cells of that child will forever be inside of you. And that's why like abortion trauma is so huge, because they're like, oh, well, if I, you know, it's a form of like plan B, or like, you know, it's a form, like it's a contraception. I can just have an abortion and then go back to nothing. No, that's not the case. Like there's still trauma that is involved with that, because there was a murder that happened. There was a conception happened, you know, when the sperm met the egg, like there was conception that was happening. The life was brought forth. Even if it didn't look like us with hands and feet, there was a life there. And,
so you're saying it's not just psychological, it's physiological.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot more into it. And some may say, oh, it's like...
I'm also curious about the long-term damage. Obviously, we probably won't know this for a couple decades until we figure out the true science of what these chemicals are actually doing to women. Because there's that... I think before we came on the show, we were talking about IVF.
Yeah.
And so there's actually states out there that are passing the rights for these eggs that are not even fertilized yet, right? So...
Yeah.
We're recognizing them as human beings, but what's going to happen? And obviously IVF is going to be more needed if there's people out there that can't produce eggs, that these chemical drugs that we're giving them do further reproductive damage. And so I have concerns about those kinds of things, about how easily we've just made, oh, it's just an easy choice. You can have kids later. And that's not always the case.
Yeah. There's like no like real weight of like the responsibility behind like bringing a child into this world. And same with like the whole like hookup culture within like the Generation Z and like millennial area. It's like you can just have sex with whoever you want and like not reap the consequences that come from it because there's easy outs. You know, there's not really an easy out when, and that's when like parents or like, you know, mothers and fathers who find themselves in an unwanted pregnancy because they thought it was an easy out. Like we're just having this pleasure as an easy out. It's not the case. And same with like IVF, like I talked about before the show, like I heard the argument that it's almost, it's like a form of slavery and stuff with people who don't have rights. They don't have a way to access those rights. They can't speak, they can't motion or anything because they're just, the sperm and the egg came together and there's a conception happen and they're just off in these freezers and stuff. So I think, especially within the pro-life movement, there can't be any double-mindedness either. Like you're all the way for life or you really need to, I don't even know.
Well, it's a tough debate and it's a debate that's happening nationwide. And of course there's screams from the far left about the overturning of Roe versus Wade to push it back onto the states. And so states are making individual decisions. Yeah. Some states are saying 15 weeks. Some states are saying 6 weeks. And it's really interesting. Well, when do you call it a life, right? Yeah. Really what they're doing is they're debating when it's okay to kill it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, because obviously at conception, we know that a man and woman come together that, you know,
yeah,
these gender identities only produce children one way. That's the science.
Only two genders.
I mean, that's, you know, I have this weird thing. I did eighth grade biology and the world is now lying to me. Or what I learned is not true. So there's a baby that's created in this miraculous situation and it becomes a life. Actually, I think God talks about it being a life before the life even occurs, before conception, yeah, even, right?
Yeah.
Because he knows all that will be written.
Yeah. And in Jeremiah, he goes like, before I formed you, like I knew you. Like there's that. And like the whole cool scientific thing that happens where like when conception happens, like when fertilization happens, there's a light that happens.
There's a burst of light.
Which is so cool. Like, and scientists are like, we don't know.
We can't answer it.
And all the Christians are like, we know.
We know. Well, and that's why I think being pro-life is so easy. It's hard in the culture we're in, but, mm-hmm, you know, there's a lot of things hard in our culture. And I think if we can't stand up for life in the beginning, how do we stand up for anything else beyond life? I mean, sure, we can argue about taxes. We can argue about, you know, where to put the stop signs or whatever. But none of that matters if we don't have life. And I think this population issue, this population control, because really that's what the abortion industry came out of, was, mm-hmm, a feeling that we were going to overpopulate the planet. And now we're seeing that not just the United States, but China and other countries are seeing where they don't have a replacement rate, that they are seeing their cultures slowly die.
Yeah.
And it's because the decisions that we've made, I think, internationally, nationally, at the state levels, to kill our offspring.
Yeah. And even you can flip it the other way, but like, you know, our like grandparents and grandmas, you know, grandfathers and grandmas, you know, who are at like the age where they need like assistance in like living. You have countries like Canada, they're just like, well, we'll help you with like a physician assisted suicide. So like it goes both ways. Like it's not just, they're not just targeting like the preborn, but then also like those that are like the elderly, you know, the ones that are supposed to be pouring into us, you know, wise in their age.
Yeah, I think in Canada now you can just go in there at any age and say, well, I just don't think I want to hang out here anymore, and they'll help you out with that. And it's an anti-life movement that we've seen in governments and in our culture, and all the people that were promoting it just happened to be born. So it's kind of an interesting take, I think. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back again with Kaylin. She is here. We're going to be talking about Bridging the Gap. That's an event coming up Friday, March 22nd. That's this Friday, 6:30 p.m., 8:30 p.m. It's at Gonzaga Hemmingson Auditorium. And, you know, you got to be there or be square, I guess, because Students for Life is going to be there standing
free,
up for life.
Right? It's free. So it's free, people. All you have to do is go and put your bottom in a seat to support these young adults so that they can stand up for the unborn.
That's right. You put your bottom in the seat and you stand up for life. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are only on the air and podcast because you support this program. You, the listeners, we are listener supported. Keep us on the air to keep all these interviews and shows going. Please go to rightspokaneperspective.com. There's a donate button there. Or you can send your donation to Right Spokane Perspective LLC, P.O. Box 7620-99207. Thanks and back to the show. And welcome back to Right Spokane Perspective on this time for life. Not the time of our lives, but it could be. But it's
if you're alive, it is.
For life. Right. Yeah, you can only enjoy life if you have it. And there's 60 plus million lives that were extinguished that never got to see the light of day.
Which is why you can have the time of your life this Friday night from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Gonzaga Hemmingson Auditorium. Join us.
That's right. And you're going to have a special discussion with Glendy Loringer. She is the executive director from Life Services. And I know that there's going to be other folks there that can talk about the issue about abortion. And it's a tough discussion to have in the culture that we live in. And you need to be armed with ways to tell people about life and shine a light on the importance of life. Not that just we have a shrinking population and a shrinking tax base and that there's not going to be anyone to care for any of us when we're old. I mean, those are good points too, but you have to have a good discussion with people about life, especially when you have individuals, young couples that are facing inflation. We're facing hard times to find a place to live, hard times. But you know what? Families have figured it out. After the Great Depression happened, what happened? The baby boom.
Yeah.
Times,
because babies are wonderful.
Times were hard. People didn't have a lot of money and they still had 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 yeah. kids. So it's possible today, if you can afford to pull up to a coffee stand and pay $7 for a cup of coffee, you can probably afford a child. So there's yeah. lots of positive ways to talk about life. And I think that this Bridging the Gap meeting that's going to be happening is going to be arming you with good positive things about choosing life. Again, we have Kaylin in the studio with us today. How do you talk people into life other than just being lively?
How do I talk people into life?
Hopefully Man. They talk back.
Just so I know. It's like CPR, but with words, right? It's just breathing life into people, to spread the word of pro-life values.
Man, the thing that came to mind was just bringing them into healthy community, to where a life laid down to just serve others rather than myself is kind of how, like, and just the actions and like the fruit of that walk is kind of like how I kind of talk to people about life and why they should value life, you know, because there's such a prideful culture out there, self-preservation, you do your own thing, it's your own truth kind of thing. But somebody who is clearly just serving others and themselves wrecks and offends people. Yeah. And it's freeing. Like I could care less what people think because I'm just serving and yeah.
doing good things
for life. So I have a question for you too here. It's kind of odd, but one of the things about
coming from pro-life you, movement, I'm not so sure.
and Life Services, we've talked to Glendy about Life Services, and abortion and life isn't just about the baby. Mm-hmm. It's about the mother, but it's also about the father. It's about families. It's about society, a culture moving forward. Mm-hmm. And thinking about dads, we obviously need more dads that are active in being dads, and we don't need more fatherless homes. We Amen. Need children cared for. So I think yeah. we have to put the blame on fathers and men that are looking for those easy outs like we were talking about in the first half. And maybe they need to just step up, get married and have children, start a family. It's the right thing to do. But it's a culture of death oftentimes when we talk about the pro-life issue. But what's interesting to me is if you go on the internet and like there's videos about all sorts of crazy things like super dads. And you see these dads like diving to save their 1-year-old that's rolling off the couch. Have you seen some of those yeah. videos?
They're pretty great.
They're pretty great. And everybody loves them. They're like, yeah. here's a super dad. He just like bent over backwards, caught his kid that was going to fall out of the chair.
I bet he didn't walk for a week.
So those are Throws all back. Very pro-life moments.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to maybe lean on the fathers out there to the unborn and ask them to be more pro-life.
Yeah, definitely. In the pro-life movement, like, especially like within the Gonzaga Students for Life Club, we have way more guys than we do women in there. So I just want to throw that out
there.
That's awesome. It's amazing.
That is a shift from where it was when I was your age.
Really?
It was mostly a women's movement when I was your age, from my recollection. Yeah. So that's awesome that there's so many men involved in Gonzaga.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because we get a lot to where, like, we'll table, but we have to make sure that, like, a girl's there because you have two men just sitting at the table and nobody really wants to come up to them. So it's been an interesting, like, thing to, like, work around. But we're truly blessed, and especially we have so many new people coming into the club. We're truly blessed, and we thank God for that. But 100%, like, abortion doesn't also hurt the mother, but also extremely hurts the father as well, because his DNA was also involved in the creation of that being. And you see commonly at times where, like, a mom is so willing to, like, get rid of the child, not even consider adoption or other outs, but rather just abortion is it, because it's the cheapest, I get cheapest quotation marks around that.
And sometimes the father doesn't even have a choice.
Yeah.
Well, that's that whole thing about choice, and the pro-choice, it's actually pro-death, pro-abortion. It's not really pro-choice because the baby doesn't have a choice.
No.
The mothers are forced into not having a choice oftentimes because they're either pressured by a boyfriend, pressured by a parent, pressured by a teacher. So,
or talked into it by other medical.
Yeah.
They're pushed into it. So it's not really just a free choice for a lot of individuals. And of course, yeah. So there's no choice for the baby, no choice for the father, and no choice, I don't think, for a lot of the culture. I don't think we have the opportunity to say, maybe we could get behind this woman and help her. I mean, I don't understand this idea where people are trapped in having a baby and how it's going to not be affordable. They can't afford it. We have the most generous welfare system in the country in Washington state, right? Yeah. I mean, it's
medical coverage, food stamps, help with food, help with diapers, help with clothes,
housing, car allowance, cell phone.
We have a lot of churches that get behind.
I can make
moms.
More money as a single mom than I can a professional.
Well, no, you can't, because you're the wrong gender, but
well, I can adopt. What about adopting?
We could.
I could.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't be a single mother. But
you still wouldn't be a single mother.
Single father.
A single father.
Well, so you get a lot more money.
Yeah. So, I mean, and obviously we don't want to promote a welfare lifestyle for people, but there's resources available temporarily, even if someone needs it. And I know that there's not just the state, but there's also nonprofits out there. There's lots of organizations. Yeah. There's church organizations that want to promote life and support women that are facing that decision.
So if you're looking for resources, or you're a mom out there that's considering that as an option, email us at rightspokaneperspective@gmail.com. And we will get you a list of resources if you need resources.
Well, and the speaker at this event that's coming up, Bridging the Gap, on Friday, March 22nd, Glendy with Life Services, that's one of those organizations that can plug you in as well. And great. Life Services, it's Life Services of Spokane. You can go on their website, and they've got resources as well. If you have someone that's backed into the corner, they feel, and they don't have any other option, there are options out there for life. And we should respect life. I think that life is a good thing, especially for all of those that are living. I think they've got to agree.
Yeah,
I think
I agree.
Well, so, Kaylin, how did this Bridging the Gap come about?
Oh, good question. Every semester, the club likes to host like one at least big event. So either that's a speaker, or we do like a big drive or something like that, really to do some community outreach. And we've wanted to bring Glendy in for like about a year now, and so I've just never really had time to bring her in. And so we got the opportunity in March to do it. So we're like, heck yeah, we're going to do this for sure. And so we came up with the name Bridging the Gap because we're hosting a table later on, or like a dinner talk later on in the semester with a bunch of people who 100% disagree with us. So hopefully kind of just bridge the gap and find common ground to know that we're not like hateful people against you because you are pro-choice or pro-abortion and stuff, but rather we want to have a conversation with you, sit down, really discuss this, dive down into it, because at the end of the day, we're human. We have difference of opinions, but we can find common ground, and may the Lord change your mind on specific things. So,
hallelujah.
Yeah, but her topic of the night is going to be, why should abortion be abolished and desired unthinkable? So kind of just hits that topic just straight out of the get-go of like, why is abortion wrong and why should it be abolished, and to the point to where no one is even think, like, life is going to be so great to where we're not even thinking about killing our children. Like, why should that be the focus? Because that's a huge goal in the long run. But it's doable either here or with the new heaven, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the main part. And then we want her to talk about just what, how Life Services serves the community of Spokane. Like, how are, they're not just, they give like ultrasounds, but then also STD testing, sexual transmitted.
Yeah,
testings. And then also they're so supportive. Like, they have like a mom, like, spa day and stuff where like the moms in the community, like single mothers, come together, support one another, like community. So there for the emotional support. And then even they have like a father's community. So all the single fathers and stuff can come. They just, I believe they just built like a house to have like barbecues out for the fathers in the summer. So it's pretty cool. And they do a lot of other stuff within the community. Like, they have a lot of great educational materials and stuff for college students and high school students. So they're really like reaching that young generation to pull them in and say, hey, like, you can stand up here. Like, we can equip you. We can teach you, provide opportunities to volunteer. Like,
I think even
services.
More so, they've got connections to counseling for girls that may have already chosen to have abortions, but they still will walk through that with them.
Post-abortion trauma. Yeah, post-abortion trauma is a huge thing, and sometimes it's not just for the woman; it's also for
the father.
For the father, and it's. I've heard testimonials about people with post-abortion trauma, and oftentimes many of the abortions that happen are not the first abortion. It's that even a mother and a father that would have wanted to have a baby wouldn't be able to somehow face future babies because they knew that they extinguished the older sibling. Mm-hmm. And so testimonials about that and how people get through that post-abortion trauma so that they then can lead a life and have a family, because those things are so difficult for so many individuals to kind of unpack their emotions once they take that supposed easy way out. That's not so easy.
And like, it's amazing. Great counseling. A lot of the people that work there have gone through pretty hard backgrounds, so they're more than equipped to help those women out. And a big thing too is that even a woman who's considering to have an abortion, they still welcome her into the clinic and will set her down, tell her all her options. If her final choice is to have an abortion, they will not condemn her. They will allow her to go out and make her choice, but then they will be there with open arms, willing to receive her if she ever does come back. So they have stories of like women who've had their abortion and then have had trauma, and they come back and get post-abortion counseling, and it just radically transforms their lives to where they're able to have kids again and move on. It's quite beautiful, 100%. It's super beautiful. So that's a big thing too that I really support about Life Services, is that there's no condemnation in them. They're nothing but love for the mother and the father. They just want to see baby saved, you know.
Baby saved, the continuation of the Homo sapien experience requires life, birth. Yeah. There's only one way for it to happen, and it's genetic, it's biology. You learn it in eighth grade. I think they try to teach it out of you in college these days, but it still works the same way. And if we're going to have a future on this planet, we've got to continue to have those babies. And of course, the fulfillment in life for most individuals is in their family.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with the rest of your life if you're not going to have babies? So spreading the joys and mysteries and miracles of life is a wonderful thing to do. The other wonderful thing to do is show up at Bridging the Gap, the event March 22nd. That's this Friday, 6:30 p.m., Gonzaga Hemmingson Center. It's it's Gonzaga Hemmingson Auditorium, and you're going to be there with Glendy from Life Services, and you're also going to have Kaylin there to greet you at the door, so don't miss the event. And all that being said, we're out of time for today's show. We'll be with you folks again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.